Joe Galley. I'm president of Member Solutions, and I'm here with two special guests, both clients, Master James Nam, who many of our clients know from the Consulting Apprentice, where we had run that program for a couple of years. And the thing that's real nice about James, and I think a nice story, is that at the time that you were involved with the Consulting Apprentice, it took a vote from the players to basically create the winner, and that's how you won. So that's really nice when you get voted as a winner. And you did some really nice things in helping our clients, and that sort of got you involved working with us and helping us from a consulting perspective, and led to us having a conversation about a verbal judo and seeing about how to get this information out to our clients. And Mr. Lee, I've known for a few years, and we have many mutual acquaintances, and you run where are the schools located again for you?
I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So we have five schools here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, five schools, and I know that you and I got to talking when you were on MTV. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I did a MTV reality show called MTV Made, where they're looking for a martial arts teacher. And out of 70 people, I was selected as the martial art coach for this young man. And we turned him into a martial artist in 5 weeks. And it was also chosen as the 100th episode of MTV Made. So people don't know anything about the show. It's they take this young man or any young teenager, and then they transform them into something that they're not. And the young person I happened to be working with was a sedentary video gamer who was like 5'5", 270 pounds. And, you know, they wanted to make him into a martial arts fighter. And so we did that in like a five-week period.
And I watched that show, and I thought it was very interesting. And you certainly had your hands full in the beginning, but it was nice to see him come around and, you know, pick up on what you were trying to teach there. And look, you know, video gamers, they're sitting down, and their life is kind of inside that screen. So to bring them out into reality, and he did, if I recall, he did a lot of martial arts video games.
Right. He was doing a lot of martial arts video games and you know, got all his friends together on Saturday, and that's what they did for like 10 hours. Just played video games all day in the basement. It was just crazy.
That must have been a fun experience for you, and it was certainly good for a lot of teenagers to get a glimpse into martial arts that way. So, you know, I think that was really important for the industry as a whole. So, you know, thanks for doing a great job with that, representing us.
Well, thank you. And that's the main reason I did it, is just to change the perception of what martial arts is about, because everybody thinks of us that we're just MMA schools, or, you know, that we're out to beat each other up. But, you know, this kind of also showed the character parts of what we do, and it was a great opportunity for that.
Well, it's fantastic, and it's great to see this product, which, you know, we'll get into shortly. I want to mention to our clients in general that, you know, Member Solutions is pretty proud of the fact that we have lots of relationships in the industry, that we're always looking for new ideas, new products, and things that may benefit our clients. And, you know, in some cases, we really don't know very much about the product or service, but we want to bring the people in that we know and have a relationship with an opportunity to present different ideas and really leave it to you to, you know, make decisions as to, hey, should I get more information? And, of course, we like to bring people in that we know, because these are the guys that are willing to spend time with our clients and answer questions and give out email addresses. And, you know, so some of the real basic requirements that we have is, hey, you know, we want our clients to learn something for the day. We want them to know about new innovations that are out there. And ultimately, the decision is up to you. So we want to be the information provider. This is something that really has come up in many different ways. You know, just the topic of bullying and clients looking for different strategies where they can help their students or promote outside of their school that their school is a place to go to deal with anti-bullying tactics and things. So would you guys like to have anything to add to that as we get started?
Yeah, well, Mr. Galea, I just want to, you know, let everybody know that this is not just going to be a sales pitch. I hope everybody gets a pen and paper. And I think bullying is a huge issue with kids. And so, you know, I'm going to give everybody some real strategies that they can use to help their own students on their floor. And, if a child is bullied, what's the first place they go? They go to a martial arts school. So this definitely has a need in our industry, which, I'll talk to everybody further about.
And was that the motivation as to how the verbal judo program got started?
Yeah, absolutely. I originally, a good friend of mine, I'm really big into realistic tactics. And, I have a red man suit. I took some police trainer courses on disarming guns and so forth. And I really want to make sure that the curriculum I teach on my floor is the most realistic with working with people. And I have a lot of law enforcement, FBI agents. I have people that on a day of mental health that, deal with people that might hurt them. And so I don't want to get anybody hurt in that process. And so I take, my job in terms of realistic self-defense for adults and kids very seriously. But then, I realized when, I had students coming up to me and, they're getting bullied in school and, like a front punch to the nose is not the right solution. But ignoring it is not the right solution either. And so, I read a lot of books and things and I didn't feel right in terms of the type of solutions we're giving to children in terms of how to deal with the bullying situation. And so we do what all school owners do. We get creative and we go to MSU, right? Make stuff up university. So I was just sitting there making stuff up in my office and it sounded good, but I didn't know if it was the right advice. And then a friend of mine that is a police trainer came up to me, Gary Klugowitz. And some people may know Gary because he created the Red Man suit. And he comes up to me and goes, "Hey, this famous police trainer, Dr. Thompson's coming to Milwaukee. So he's coming to train the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department. Why don't you come by and do this?" And, I thought to myself, I said, there's no way I'm going to sit through a five-day session, in a classroom 8 hours a day learning how to do, verbal tactics. And I thought, I'll go a day or two and whatever. But, boy, was I wrong. I went and, it was probably one of the most life-changing things I saw. And I was like, wow, this is how you should communicate with people and so forth. And it was just a law enforcement program because with police, right, they train how to use batons, OC pepper spray, tasers, guns, all these use of force weapons, right? And, to deal with conflict, handcuffing, all that stuff. But 97% of the interaction is, communication, right? They don't always pull out their guns. They don't always pull out their batons. They're communicating with the public. But a lot of these officers were doing it very poorly. And as the Rodney King riots showed, people had this us versus them, us versus the police type of mentality. In fact, Dr. Thompson was actually called in right after the riots to work with the whole police departments in L.A., along with Gates, the police chief. And so he's a really famous guy in law enforcement, and I was, really lucky to be one of the few civilians in the program sitting through the thing. And then from there I said, hey, this is a huge hole in the martial art curriculum because every day we teach kids and adults how to defend themselves from physical attack. If this happens, you block this way, you do this, these are the tactics that you can use to defend yourself, against this move or whatever. But there's a whole scene before that, right? I mean, there's some type of physical altercation is usually preceded by some type of verbal altercation. And there wasn't a really good curriculum on how to deal with that. And so with Dr. Thompson's advice and direction, I created the verbal judo program for martial artists and youth. And so that's how this whole program came about. And that's kind of the quick synopsis and background of verbal judo.
And, just to kind of let you guys know about Master Tan Lee, you guys know him as making the MADE videos for MTV. But, honestly, when he created the verbal judo program and I got to know it, he said verbal judo. So I actually went up to Milwaukee to go ahead and check it out because, I'm a little skeptical when I see these new programs that come up. And I wanted to really see if it was a real deal. And believe me, when I went there and he showed me the materials, I was really overwhelmed with a lot of information, and it gave me a really pleasant surprise. And I think he kind of used me as a guinea pig to try this in our school system, and it just really exploded. And if you don't know about Master Chan Lee, I mean, he has five schools, and he has over 1,500 students, all across. So he really knows what he's talking about.
And, you know, just dovetail off of Master Nam is that, you know, when I make decisions for my schools, I have to make, you know, I can't just think about myself. I have to make decisions for all 15 of my full-time staff members. So I want to make sure they're able to recreate it. And you know, Master Nam has now since become our West Coast Director of Operations for the Verbal Judo Martial Arts Project. And he's one of the best practitioners. I mean, I know he's given the videos to his staff and so forth. But, you know, really easy to use. We all, you know, we all have these huddle discussions, right, in our classroom. So if you last 5-10 minutes, and we're always kind of filling that up with character and stuff like that, and that's where a lot of these discussions to our students happen, is at the last 5-10 minutes of class, we actually talk to the kids about, you know, the verbal judo concept. We role play with them a little bit. And then we actually give out homework, too. You know, I came up with this thing called car talks, because one of the best places to role play with your kids and get their full attention is when they're in the car, right? There's no other distraction, and they can't run away from you. And parents can now have a discussion about, you know, whatever scenario or concept that we're talking about in the car with their child. So when, you know, problems arise, they're being trained in the car with their kids. And secretly, you're also training the parents as well and providing and cementing just loads of value about what your program is doing. So now when little Johnny runs off after class, you know, hey, what'd you learn today? Hey, Mom, here, can you go over this with me? Or in my case, I don't know, Master Nam seeing this too, is that parents are, like, coming early to listen to what our car talks are about so they can, you know, sound educated talking with their kids, you know, in the car. So really it has become a wonderful thing that we've worked with people in the martial art industry.
And, you know, what I like the verbal judo program is, well, not just in verbal judo program, but I think once your school gets to a certain level, you really can't do everything yourself. And I know that everybody here is a great instructor, and you could go ahead and speak in front of, you know, many people without, you know, even sweating it. But, you know, how is it working with your staff? You know, can they do the same thing? What percentage are they doing of what you can do so they could go ahead and cause a difference? So my biggest thing that I liked about the program was that, you know, it was very systemized, and I really don't have to do a lot. I know what they're going to do, but at the same time, I let the instructors watch the DVDs, and it tells you step by step on exactly what to do. So I think not just for verbal judo, but for many things, I mean, it's very important that you're going to be systemized. I really like that a lot, Master Chan Lee.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And you know, it's a curriculum, and then secretly it's a marketing program all rolled into one. Because as you sit down, and I just sat down with one of the school districts in my area, and I just told them a basic concept of some of the verbal judo stuff that we're doing in my classroom floor. You know, you know, this counselor and the principal were just like, when do you want to come in and start talking to our kids? You know, and so really, you know, I think there's a lot of programs out there, but now that, you know, we have the real deal, and especially with verbal judo being street tested, I mean, over 1 million cops have actually used verbal judo worldwide, and it's been taught by over 27 years. And I know, Master Nam, you said that, you actually talked about verbal judo in your classroom. You had a couple police officers. And did they know something about it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, in California, it's really big. So fire correction officers and police officers, we have CHPs, LAPDs. We have a lot of different police officers. You know, and you could usually tell, you know, because they don't really pay attention to the physical, because they went through some stuff and they're doing it for the kids. But once the verbal judo comes up, you see them right away looking at you to see, you know, hey, is this really valid what they're teaching? And once you say the name, okay, we're going to teach you verbal judo, this is what you're going to do, and they start nodding their heads. And it's really, really important that you're getting these support from all the police officers, and it validates it. And I think that's one of the most important key factors. I remember, Master Lee, we talked about it in Kama, but, you know, we talked about third-party validation, right, where yes, we have a program, and yes, we have this these techniques that we teach our kids, but instead of us saying, okay, well, this is our program, and we like this a lot, and this really works, well, we could say, hey, you know what? These are the techniques that the police officers use, and this is what they use, this is what they do, and it's a great program, and we adapted that into our program, what the officers use. So instead of now going around bragging about our school and what we do, now it gives a third-party validation. Just like if you tell your potential clients that how great your school is, it's not as nearly as great as if somebody, one of the parents of a student that tells your potential clients that, hey, you know what, this is a great school. We love it. You know, it changed our lives. I mean, it just has a totally different effect. So I think that the third-party validation has an important factor, especially when you go out and talk to the schools and let them know that, hey, this is what we're doing, and this is a verbal judo that's used by police officers worldwide. So I think that's one of the most important things that I've utilized on getting into schools. And as a matter of fact, I have an appointment in 27th of this month to actually go in. I think it's 27, 28, but to go in to talk to the principal to go ahead and do this for the entire elementary school. So that's how I actually got into this, you know, to the school system. But I think that's a really important factor.
That is a really good point. Now, you know, the name verbal judo, I mean, it's a great name because it lets people know that you're, you know, it's a form of self-defense verbally. Can you give us a couple examples? Because in, you know, martial arts, self-defense, someone throws a punch, you're physically reacting to defend it, and in essence, there is now a fight going on. With verbal judo, you know, how is that different?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that Dr. Thompson teaches first is that verbal judo is not just tactics, it's a philosophy, right? Because, you know, if you don't adopt the philosophy of your tone and your pitch and how you say things, then it doesn't matter what the tactics are, right? And, you know, my father used to say my name three ways, right? I mean, he used to say, Chan, 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 right? It's the same word, but because it's said three different ways, it has three different entire meanings. And so, you know, number one is, you know, what's your tonality? Because, you know, 93% of communication is based off facial expression, body language, your other nonverbal cues, and then tone. And you know, that's the first thing is recognizing that, what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. And we do have something called word blocks, but before I get into any of those tactics, I just like to kind of explain the first thing that we do in verbal judo is to really make sure we understand what our public face is, right? And in police work, it's your professional face, right? What's your public persona? You know, are you coming out as something that someone that's very, you know, hard and very yelling at someone like a police officer might do, or are you there to help the situation, which you know they train officers to do? And same thing with martial artists. What do we represent? We are here to keep the peace and making sure that at the same time that we don't get angry. And so the first drill I have all the kids do is we write down what are your trigger points. What makes you angry? You know, if someone calls you fat, ugly, stupid, or some racial name, do you fly off the handle? And how you say and react to that is going to make a big, big deal. So that's one of the first drills we do in our classes is that you know, we have all the kids come out. And I don't know if you know this, Joe, but do you know the word emo is a really bad word for kids, that you're an emo?
I did not know that. And I have two children, ages 11 and 9, so...
Yeah, they're getting to that age where 12, 13, and I bet if you name that to your kids, they'll be like, oh, yeah, Dad, you know, and it's short for your emotional, that you're an emotional problem, that you're going to have to go see the counselor because you're an emo, that you're a cutter, or you wear black makeup, or all that stuff, and no one wants to be labeled that, and it's a huge insult, and I didn't know that, and I learned that just from working that with my own kids, is that, yeah, I hate it when they call me emo, and then you write these words on the whiteboard, and I just talked to the kids about it. I said, okay. And then I tell a personal story about what makes me mad. And, you know, I used to get mad when I'm driving with my kids and someone used to cut me off, used to honk the horn and kind of, you know, get upset. And so number one, recognizing your trigger points and then naming it and stepping back from that and saying, okay, I will not get angry. Right. Part of becoming a black belt, part of becoming a martial artist is that I don't get angry when these things happen because we're above that, right? We raise the standards of who these kids are and what they are because of what you're in their school. And then from there, we talk about the perfect pitch and perfect tone and how you say things, right? As opposed to saying, stop it. Can you please stop that? You know, saying it very calm and without eliciting any type of emotional content so the other person has something to attach to. And so, you know, that's our first drill is anger guard. And then the second thing that we have is making sure the kids have a good look. And so one of the biggest drills that we do is actually we do something called the handshake drill. Right, because you don't want to be too meek, right? So we have a scale 1 through 5, and you know, number 1 being passive, 2 being meek, 3 being assertive, that's what you want, 4 being pushy, and 5 being aggressive, right? And you don't want that either, right? That assertiveness is probably what you want. And, you know, we tell the kids, okay, what do you want your handshake to be? And so, you know, we show bad examples of a passive handshake. Hi, I'm Master Lee. Nice to meet you. And the kids will come out and they'll just start laughing. And what do you think? If I do that, would that be good? And kids will say no. And, or how about I'm overly aggressive. Hi, I'm Master Lee. Nice to meet you. And the kids, you know, laugh and say, that's not correct either. How about this? Hi, I'm Master Lee. I look you right in the eye and, you know, nice to meet you. And so we have these skills that we want the kids to look people in the eye, have a straight, body posture, and that people are matching the types of tones. And then what they do is, I like to have my mat chats really interactive. And so the verbal judo mat chat for this is that the kids will go out into the audience and actually shake hands, and the parents get a chance to rate the kids every time they do that. So they go, oh, that was a 4. That's a little bit too pushy. Oh, you know what? That was meek. That was kind of passive. Can you stand straighter? And so they get some valuable feedback, and, you know, within 5 or 10 minutes, you see these kids just change their posture and look. And I talked to them. I said, that's important because, you know, why have you guys been targeted to be bullied? You know, do you have, and I have a shirt that I have. It says, bully me. You know, do you have the bully me t-shirt? Are you guys walking around with your body language and you've been targeted to be bullied? Is that happening to you? And you need to change that posture. You know, tactics don't matter at this point. You need to change the body posture, language, the look of who you are. And it's a really, really important part of that. And I had a kid named, his name was Colin, and Colin was actually bullied for like 3 years straight through all the way through fifth, and he was, you know, going to eighth grade and all this stuff that was going on to him. And his parents were really beginning to get concerned because, you know, same group of kids is having a serious toll on their son's self-esteem. And so they enrolled him in our school, you know, and he's telling me all these things that are happening, and you know, mom wants some self-defense skills for him and so forth. And so they enrolled him in June, knowing that for 3 months they want him to learn something and then get going for the school year in the following September. And as I was working with Colin, we did the same drill with the handshakes and body posture and so forth. And then we taught him all the other tactics like the word blocks and things like that. Well, I'll get into a little bit later. And so you're armed with all this knowledge and you practice. And finally September rolled around and, you know, Colin didn't come for that week of class, and I'm kind of dying to see what happened, you know, what word block did he use? How did he deal with the situation? And he finally comes to class. I go, hey, what happened? You know, did anything happen? And he goes, sir, they didn't even say anything to me. They just kind of left me alone this year. And I think a lot of that has to do with just your body posture and how you look and you know, how you react to what words are being said to you. And you know, it just kind of, you no longer became a target. And so anyway, that's one way that we work with our students with verbal judo, is having that look of being a black belt, having a look of being a good student in martial arts, and so they don't react to words and anger and things like that. And so that's the drill that we have with the children. And consequently, this same drill we did, I actually did a talk. It was about 150 kids from my school district showed up for an anti-bullying class that the school district wanted to put out. And so I was the speaker and guest lecturer, and when it was interactive and we did the same things, you can do the same drill out in the general public, and parents are just immediately changed. And it's amazing how these kids transform right in front of you, where, you know, they walk into the presentation with their slumped shoulders, and you can just kind of tell, right? You go, I know this kid's getting bullied. You know, you can just tell by his posture and look. And then just when they walk out of this session, it's just like, wow, they've transformed, and now they have a little bit of knowledge of what they can say and use during the course of time. And what's also really cool about verbal judo is that when you do talk to parents and people about the tactics and the programs and how they got to change their posture, I mean, you know, I call it the Oprah moment. You start having parents cry in your office and, wow, this is the stuff we're looking for. Oh, this makes perfect sense. And it just really is an emotional thing. I mean, no one wants to see their child bullied. And when they have a solution, it's really a good feeling to know that you've taught them something that they could use immediately.
I would imagine just even being able to promote your school, it becomes so much easier because the schools and other children-friendly organizations are very interested in preventative fighting as opposed to you teaching, you know, someone throws a punch and you're blocking, you're both in a fight, you know, but if you're learning skills to defuse a situation, the fight never happens, and that probably gets you a lot of talking time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think as school owners, we've all done this, right? We've worn the suit. We've worn our martial art uniforms. We go to the front desk of the school system and knock on their doors and, hey, how can I help you? How can I serve you? How can I can do these talks on this and this and this and this. And, you know, and more often than not, right, you're kind of like looked down upon a little bit, like, all right, here's this martial art guy that wants to come in and teach something. And it's just kind of like frustrating. I know that's a common theme in a lot of martial arts schools, and it was with us. And I think what's cool now is that you walk in there as a verbal judo representative and saying, hey, listen, I've been credentialed with this program called Verbal Judo, and it's a course I took with Northwest Technical College, and it's part of what we do in our martial arts school, and I'd like to help kids deal with, bullying and verbal abuse, and who can I talk to about that? And I'll tell you what, the doors just start opening. They're like, boom, 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 come on in here. Let me have you talk to the counselor. Hey, the principal wants to meet you. You know, he wants to talk about how you can do a presentation to the whole school or a classroom or whatever, because I guarantee you talk to any counselor right now across the country and what's going on in their school, they'll say bullying is one of the biggest issues that they're dealing with. And I think as martial arts school owners, these are the types of issues that we have to be involved with to really help these kids deal with it, you know, and we're supposed to be protector of kids. You know, this is a good curriculum that we should institute for what we need to do for children.
Right. And, you know, just the numbers out there, 77% of all kids that are in school have gotten bullied or is getting bullied or will be bullied in a school year. So, I mean, this is a big market that all the people are looking for. And finally, we could have the Karate Kid mentality, you know. I don't know if you guys watch the Karate Kid, but they – When he's on the boat and doing all these moves, and when Mr. Miyagi says, so, you know, why are you learning karate? You know, because Daniel-san had asked him, so you must be not scared, et cetera, et cetera. And Miyagi asked, so why do you learn karate? And Daniel-san says, you know, so I don't have to fight. And I think we could finally have that mentality, and the teacher will finally understand this, and that's what martial art is all about. Instead of thinking, okay, well, martial art is just kicking and punching. If somebody says something, well, one of our students is going to get beat up, and they're afraid of that. So I think this is a really good course that we need to take in order for us to take the self-defense into the next level. So that's why I like the program.
That's a great point. So can you give us a couple of more examples of some of the verbal judo skills that will be taught through the process?
Sure, absolutely. Like I said before, the first step, though, is making sure that the tone, pitch, everything of how it's being said sounds like it's disinterested, that you're not angry, you're not upset, that you haven't been affected by what type of verbal abuse that has come to you. And we always use martial art examples, right? If you go into the ring, you don't want to look scared, but you don't want to look too angry either. You want to look kind of just even-keeled, that you're ready to do your job, right? And the first thing that we have is we have a series of word blocks that we teach. And the first word block that we do, just like if someone punched you, you got to block it. The word block that we do is something called a funny word block. And so if someone calls you an idiot, let's just use that as a basic one. You know, a funny word block is you block, you move, and you just keep going. And so if someone says, you're an idiot, you could say, hey, you know what? My mom called me that this morning. Or, hey, thanks. Are you looking to tutoring me? You know, hey. Idiot, I'm entering a contest next week. All right. Or I had a kid that he just taught me a new word block, one of my kids in my own school. He goes, you're an idiot. And you just simply go, yay, and you just keep walking, right? And so, you know, it's one of these things that you want to neutralize the abuse, that you've acknowledged it, you heard it, and you're just letting the guy know it doesn't bother you, and you're walking off, right? And so that's the first step. That's the first thing that we teach the kids, is coming up with their own funny word block. And so one of the things that we do is that we want to, we call it the art of translation, right? You know, obviously what you taught a six-year-old for a word block is completely different to a 13-year-old, right? You probably can't use the same word block. And so it's up to the parents to sit down with their children using our examples and using our guidance to come up with a good specific word block for that individual. And maybe it's because they're calling you an emo, or they're calling you something specific that is to you or your race or whatever, that you can come up with that own word block. And so that's the first thing is the funny word block. And like I said, it's the block and it's the move, right?
And one thing important that Master Lee always emphasized is that, again, when you say these word blocks, it is very important that you maintain calm. You can't make it sound like just like, you know, the tone of the name, what, you know, how your parents call you is just totally different than how they call you. It's how you say it that's going to make a difference. So you got to make sure you tell your children that you got to maintain calm, like it doesn't bother you, and that's going to be one of the main factors too.
Yeah, and it, and you know, we're doing this in a very calm situation, and you know, I always tell the kids and the parents, it's a psychomotor skill, because in the heat of battle, someone's calling you a name, you're going to get upset. You got to have, you got to learn how to stay calm. And I had a kid who was in seventh grade. He's also getting bullied, and you know, and I did some private sessions with him, and really wanted to help this kid, so you know, it wasn't going to happen to him anymore. And I decided that I was going to surprise him in our lobby, right? So you know, he comes into the school, and you know, the lobby is full of all these parents, and right in the middle of the lobby, right, I called him a jackass. I said, "Hey, David, you're a jackass," right? And like the whole lobby just kind of like they're quiet. They're like, "Oh my God, what did Master Lee just say?" And the kid just looks at me, and he's like taken aback. He stands up and he goes, "Sir, I'm entering a donkey contest next week. Thanks for noticing." And he walks away, and the whole lobby erupts in laughter. But then, you know, he performed it perfectly. He did it perfectly, and he walked away. And I kind of told the parents what we did in the lobby, and you know, they loved it. And but I looked at his face, and his face was flush red, you know. And he, even though his mouth said it perfectly, his body language didn't show it. And so I just want to make sure everybody understands it's not just the verbal skills that are also very important. It's like having that look and maintaining that calm is something that, you know, you have to develop with kids and in terms of doing that. And the same thing with adults, too. I don't want to just say this is an adult skill or a kid skill. You know, adults, you know, how many times have you maybe been yelled at? Maybe you pull into a grocery store and you take someone else's parking spot and they come out and they start verbally assaulting you, right? And you're with your children, you know, what can you say, you know? And even my adult students, I had a student that last summer he set up his picnic in the wrong picnic area, and some drunk guy came by and he goes, "That's our picnic area," and just started hauling off in front of him and his family. And, you know, he did a couple of verbal judo techniques, calmed the guy down. And, you know, we have something called the verbal judo five-step. We kind of negotiate the issues and find out what's going on in a very calm basis without escalating into violence. And they were able to work out an agreement. And he said, "Sir, you know, in the past, I would have just gone off, you know, with my family there, not losing face. I would have yelled at the guy and, you know, even, you know, it would have even gotten worse." And the crazy thing is this guy's a lawyer. And he said the verbal judo skills got him a chance to kind of remove himself from the situation, look at it objectively, and deal with it on a very calm manner without it escalating to something else. And so, like I said, this is street-tested stuff that police officers are doing, that now we're bringing that same technology down to the kids and to civilians. And, you know, we learn martial arts just in case something really bad happens, but let's also look to make sure nothing really, really bad escalates to violence. And that's the other, you know, aspect of what we want our students to learn as well. And then just real quick with the other thing about verbal judo is that there's like the verbal judo five-step, which I'll go over in a second, also gives you a five-step process to also how to justify your actions. I'll give you an example. If police ever taser someone or shoot someone or an OC pepper spray someone and they have to actually put it in a police report, they have all these steps and hurdles that they said, "Hey, at this point I was felt threatened. I verbally told them a few times this and that." And then from there, they can justify their use of force. And we never had that in the martial art industry. I mean, can you imagine if one of your students got attacked and they knock someone out and the police show up and then they're looking at the guy that's knocked out and the police officer goes, "What happened?" "Oh, this guy attacked me, but he's knocked out." You know, at what point can your students verbalize that scene without getting arrested? And so, you know, that's the first time anything like this has ever come to the martial art industry. And so that's what the verbal judo five-step is number one, you got to ask the person to stop, you know, in a very polite manner and in an assertive manner that you need to have them stop. You know, the second thing that we ask is that we give them the rules and the context of why they should stop, right? You know, for police, you know, hey, listen, in the state of Wisconsin, you know, if someone asks you for your license, you have to give it out. That's one of your rules for doing that. Hey, listen, you know, our school has a no bullying policy. And the last thing I want to do is get you in trouble, so please stop calling me an idiot or whatever it may be. So you tell the rules and it gives you a ground on why they should stop. The third thing is you got to give options. Positive options first, negative options second. Right? Hey, if you can stop calling me an idiot, you know, and you can stay on your side of the playground, I'll be able to do my thing and you can do your thing on this side. Otherwise, the last thing I want to do is go tell the teacher and, you know, and you could be possibly suspended. And the fifth part is you confirm the noncompliance, right? Hey, you know, is there anything I can say to make you stop calling me an idiot or whatever? And then the final thing is act. And act is, you know, do you tell a teacher? Do you walk away from the person if they assault you? You know, how to defend yourself. And so that's kind of one of the basic strategies in a nutshell with doing that. And so when later on you tell your incident to the principal or incident to a police officer, these are the five steps I took before I acted on what I needed to do to defend myself.
I think that's really, really important point. And it's funny because my uncle is a police officer, used to be in New York City, and he used to tell stories. And I recall, you know, basically the last resort is ever, you know, pulling a weapon. And they had all these things that they had to go through before anything got physical. And they better be ready to answer those questions. And it's a great lesson to teach the kids is that, you know, when you're in a situation of potentially getting into a fight, the physical self-defense isn't the first step. You know, yeah, you didn't throw the first punch, but what else did you do to try to prevent getting into the fight? And avoiding it altogether is the utmost importance. So I think it's great to be able to put this down into such a way where it's, you know, the kids are understanding that, yeah, there is a process here, and they are responsible to do everything they can to represent themselves as a martial artist to go through that. And I think that's your point. Am I getting that right?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And as you said, New York is one of the states that uses verbal judo as one of their tactics. So New York, Wisconsin, California is a big verbal judo state. And, yeah, you know, use of force and justifiable force is a big deal. And I mean, we never had that with kids. We never tell them when they're going to use it. You know, I had this second-degree black belt of mine. He's a state champion in Taekwondo. The kid could fight. I mean, he could bring the wood, you know. And he's one of those kids that, you know, you never had to be worried about, right? Well, and one day, his parents come into my office really mad. They knock on my door and they say, "Master Lee, we need to talk to you." And I go, "Hey, what's going on?" You know, I was very curious to see why they're so upset. And, you know, she comes up to me and says, "You know, listen, you know, my son's been here for like 7 years. And he's getting a snot kicked out of him in high school." I go, "Really?" I look at the kid. I said, "You know, John, what's going on? Why are you not defending yourself? You know, why are these kids picking on you and all this stuff?" And he looked at me and goes, "Sir, you told me never to fight in school." He told me, because I told him never to fight in school, he'd rather take a beating and then, you know, instead of getting yelled at by me or something. And it's just amazing that, you know, the way kids translate direction with that. And so now they have a clear-cut direction of, you know, when they can defend themselves, when it's okay, when it's not okay, and so forth, as opposed to, you know, there's this gray area, you know. I know in a state I heard that a kid who got bullied is a black belt, and school administration didn't do anything about it. So dad said, "I'll back you up, do whatever you want." And the kid did a back-spinning heel kick to the kid's jaw and broke it in three places for being shoved. That was his interpretation. So really, you know, use of force is a huge deal in terms of how we translate that to kids, if something ever did happen.
Right? And it's true, you know. I mean, they just I know from my own kids that the interpretation is not always in sync, and sometimes you have to say things two or three different ways to get your point across exactly the way you want it, because they just, you know, they have a different world than adults, and they see things and hear things differently, and so it's really important. We're, you know, I can't believe how much time has gone by already, so I want to get two things accomplished before the end. The first thing is, I'd like to hear from James a little bit, because since, you know, he went and flew out to the school and obviously loved the program so much that he's gotten involved in helping promote the benefits of verbal judo. And I just wanted to, you know, get James to talk a little bit about, you know, how did you use the program in a marketing aspect? You know, what did you do? You know, how do you feel it's influenced your bottom line, either from a retention standpoint or by bringing in new students? Can you take 5 minutes and just kind of tell us a little bit about how you've enhanced your school with the program?
Right, perfect. And you know what? I just wanted to go over real quick on the steps that Master Chan Lee talked about, because I know he was talking about a lot of things. But first, you know, we talked about Mushin, you know, making sure you maintain your calm. It's very important you maintain your calm in any situation. Two, anger guard, so that you know you identify what bothers you, and you promise to yourself, hey, you know what, I'm not going to go in and react on this. Name it and you own it. I think that's an important part. The third one, name it and you own it. You create a name for whatever bothers you, so you subconsciously recognize, you know, what bothers you. If somebody cuts you off, you can name it Mr. Cut Me Off. You could name it anything you want. And then the first block is funny word block, where somebody says, hey, you know what, you're ugly. Hey, thanks for noticing, and I'm trying to enter an ugly contest. You could use it in different ways. And then Master Chan Lee used five steps that he just talked about. So that's what we went over, and it's in that order that you need to go ahead and teach it to your students. I'm sure if you guys need any help on this or anything else, you could email me, and I'd love to go ahead and help. As for how do I actually market this, it's very simple. When we have our presentation, when we have our ECs, enrollment conferences, we let them know, okay, well, first of all, let me discuss how do we actually implement this in class. Last 5 minutes, everybody sits, and we go over verbal judo. Now, the old way of mat chat, I mean, you know, I think it's great. You discuss about discipline, but I don't know about you guys, but it kind of, when I look at the kids and after a workout, they're kind of tired and they're starting to zone out on me. So when I talk about discipline, respect, and a lot of different things, I really feel that it's not really getting to them because they're kind of tired and they're listening and kind of one, the out, the other. You know how kids are. So when we implemented this program, there's a lot of interaction. It's not about, okay, me just telling them, okay, guys, well, this is how you do it. This is how a funny word block goes. Okay, all right, everybody go home. It's not that. We stand them up. We tell them, hey, listen, all right, guys, everybody go ahead and say, you know, thanks for noticing. I'm trying to enter an ugly contest. And then everybody repeat. And then I'll go ahead and I'll say, okay, Mr. So-and-so, you know, you're an idiot. And they'll go ahead and interact. And everybody's laughing. And they come up with their own stuff. And that's even more funnier. So they're actually interacting with the program. So that's been helping a lot. The parents are laughing. The students are laughing. But at the same time, they're learning it. So we have this interaction. So I think it works a lot better for me in terms of getting the kids to actually pay attention and do it, instead of just me having to lecture about this for the last 5 minutes on how to get discipline, which they're kids. They're not going to really have a lot of discipline. So that's number one thing, how I implement it. Now, second way, how do I market this? When I go into ECs, enrollment conferences, we let them know, hey, we're doing verbal judo. And it's not about, okay, it's my creation that I concoct, you know, I made up, and this stuff works. Again, the third-party validation, I think it's just so very, very important. We let them know verbal judo is a program that's used by police officers. You know, over 700,000 police officers has used this program, and we actually adapted this program into our system so that your child doesn't have to get bullied, and he knows what to do. Sir, ma'am, you know, I tell you what, you know, we used to tell our kids, ignore them. You know, you're better than that, but that is not the right answer. You know, you need to take steps to make sure that your child doesn't get bullied. Did you know 77% of all kids, and I go about the statistic, and I let them know about that. And then, you know, you see this. You know when the parents are, you know, on it, when you look at their eyes and you shake your head, and they're shaking their head with you. So you know, okay, great, these parents got it. So it helps me in that when I enroll students. But, again, it has to be on the floor. And so for enrollment, that's how it helps. Now, second thing is, which is huge for marketing, is when I get into school. I don't know if you guys do school talks or not, but you guys got to do it. And when you go into schools, what do most people talk about? Okay, well, don't go with strangers. Don't do this. Don't do that. Okay, everybody got it. Listen to your teachers. Great job. Have great attitude. You know, thank you, teachers. And you go home. Well, we don't do that anymore. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but we found a better way, which is verbal judo. We tell them, okay, all right, guys, you know, this is how it works, and everybody gets to try it a little bit, and teachers already know they're having a huge problem with this. You know, I get approached so many times with parents that are having problems with bullying. So when the teachers hear this, you know, I let the teachers know, hey, I tell you what, guys, you know, as a member of, you know, I don't know, I belong to World Taekwondo Federation. World Taekwondo Federation, you know, we're required to go ahead and make sure we teach a certain amount of hours as community service to better our community. And, you know, we teach our verbal judo program to the teachers for the school. There's no cost for it. And that way you could go ahead and teach it to your kids. Well, guess what? Now you have teachers learning all these different, you know, things about verbal judo, and we'll make it a day of it, you know, 3-hour seminar, and then we'll go ahead and teach it to them. And guess what happens when they run into a student that has that's going into verbal judo? They're not going to remember all this because, you know, yeah, they took the class, but there's so many things to memorize, they're not going to remember it. Guess what they're going to do? Guess who they're going to recommend for your for the child to deal with their bullying? To the parents, when they have the confidence, they'll recommend Victorville Taekwondo, and we had it happen so many times where they're, you know, so-and-so teacher recommended your school. My kid's getting bullied, and I heard that you guys have this program. And we tell them, absolutely, ma'am, you came to the right place. And with these guys, there's really not a lot of things that I say to them. Once I show them, you know, with the week of free, you know, we do a one-week evaluation class, no charge. And when we show them to them in 1 week and it makes a difference, oh, my goodness, you know, they'll sign up for the program. And on top of that, you get more PR because now instead of you trying to promote your school, you're actually helping the community. And you're telling the teachers, well, this is what we do. We're a school that's committed to making our kids better. So now you're perceived as a school that's helping the community and your authority figure on bullying. And guess who everybody else will go to? It's going to be your school. And actually, you know, Master Chan Lee has built an empire on this community service. And if you type up his school name in Milwaukee, you know, you see tons of stuff that he's done for the community. And that's, you know, I'm fortunate to have met Master Chan Lee to go ahead and guide me through all this. And that's who I learned from. And marketing-wise, for verbal judo, I mean, that's how it's going to work. You're going to be perceived as a person that's going to better our community, not another school that's coming into your school to go ahead and get some new students. And I think that's the main thing that's how you're going to benefit. And we gain so many students from this, from the teacher's recommendation. It's just ridiculous.
That's fantastic. That's exactly what I think people needed to hear. And it's great having your story because, you know, you've gone through and implementing it and I love the concept of going out there and doing a seminar with the teachers. You know, you're right. They're not going to remember everything. What they do remember will be consistent with what you're teaching, and now you've formed a great relationship and a team in overcoming bullying where you're the expert for the community, and that's just going to have so many rewards. We have about 10 minutes left, so what I want to do is – at least get the information out there as to how they can get involved. And then I'd like to have our clients ask some questions. Those that are on the web, you can certainly post those questions. Now we'll try to get through all of them. But these guys that are hosting today are awesome, and I know they'll take questions by email as well if we don't get through them all today. So let's talk about the program. Why don't you talk about what it is for sale to the industry? And of course, you know, our clients always know that there's an opportunity through Member Solutions to get a better deal. But talk about the program from regular pricing.
Yes, well, sir. I was going to say sorry to cut you off, Mesh. Now, but everybody gets 6 DVDs. You get a 150-page manual that comes with those DVDs on how to implement everything, the card talks, everything like that. And then this program, since it's been with law enforcement, just got approval to be a technical college program. So once you complete an online course of this program, you get a certificate that credentials you with a technical college that says that you are that you've gone through this recognized program through the Verbal Judo Institute and Northwest Technical College, that you can also build additional credibility to your schools. And so that all comes with the Verbal Judo program. And then we're doing a big launch in about a couple weeks with the Martial Art Industry Association, and we're a retail price at $699. I know we wanted to do something special for the Member Solutions people, and there's a discount anywhere between $200 and $400 for the Member Solutions people based on your level of billing with the company. So that's our special gift to everybody as a part of Member Solutions.
So just to put that a little bit more, I guess, clearer, the rewards program is where the product sits right now. There's a little picture of it and description. And if you go to our website, you can get into the rewards program and you'll see what your rewards level is, which is based on your billing volume, and then you get discounts based on that level. I've answered a couple, both of us have answered a couple of questions that I'm seeing online right now. So, yes, you can purchase through Member Solutions. There are discounts. And if you need any help whatsoever, you can call our office at 888-277-4409. And speak with one of our sales reps, and they can also place the order for you if you have any trouble online and get you the specific pricing information. It's a really pretty comprehensive package to get 6 DVDs, a large manual. You also mentioned, I think, PowerPoints. Are those PowerPoints to be used in the classroom, or are they for presentations outside of the school?
Well, there's a PowerPoint that's being taught as I'm going over on DVD. So the actual PowerPoint that you can use to learn. And then I have another PowerPoint that you can also use for verbal judo bullying. So if you happen to do a district-wide presentation, we have a canned presentation in PowerPoint that you can use. You can either hand out, or if you have a PowerPoint projector, you can also go over. So, yes, you do get a bunch of PowerPoints, almost over 15 PowerPoints are in there.
Well, that's awesome, because the amount of time that it takes to put presentations together, I mean, just having the PowerPoints pays for the program itself, really. I mean, think about your time and your value to have all that done is awesome. Not just getting how-to, but you're actually supporting it, giving everyone the tools to get out there and promote it. And is there support in addition to the product? Is there a way for people to get answers to questions that they may have? Is there a period of time that that's something? How did that work?
Yeah, you can always email me, and I always answer my emails. It's Master Chan, MasterChan, at jkleeblackbelt.com, at MasterChan at jkleeblackbelt.com. You can email me there, or you can always call me at 414-803-5425. I know when people first get nervous about doing their first major presentation, I can kind of walk them through what they need to do and so forth. But, yeah, it is truly the true ammunition you need to get into a school system and talk to them about some real things that they have problems with.
Right. And also, just to go ahead and let you guys know, you could go ahead and talk to Master Chan Lee for any questions that you have. And also, you could call me, and, they have all – Member Solutions has all my information. Email me. You could do whichever. But please, if you need to go ahead and order the product, make sure you go through Member Solutions, and that will be really appreciated.
That's awesome. It looks like I covered a good number of the questions here. I'm gonna put a few of them out there just so you guys can help me make sure that we cover them. First, I have from Nova Scotia saying hi to all three of us, and he said he just finished the 15-week verbal judo course with his students, and he was wanting to know if there was a follow-up program, or should I start with week one again and do a review. So here's somebody who's already attacked it and completed the 15-week course, which is awesome. Congratulations to you, Tim. So what happens after you go through all this and do you just go back and you keep reviewing, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, what I do is I cycle it through about three times a year in my school, right? And people are like, well, how do I get the other character stuff in? And just kind of a side note, I do two character talks in my school. I do one right in the beginning. Right, so as the kids are getting ready for class and kids are filing in late, I do it right in the beginning about, brush your teeth, be focused, respectful to your mom. I do that first, and then, I get all the character stuff out of the way there. And then at the end is usually some type of safety thing, which ends up being verbal judo or some other safety stuff that I go over with the kids. And so those are the two times that we do it. And so I recommend just keep rolling through. The other thing, too, is that you have leaders in the classroom, kids that are really good. That's how you develop your leadership team and instruction team. So those kids end up becoming, helping out the kids that are struggling and so forth, and they come out there And then you can, as I've done, I've actually used them in demos now. We do verbal judo as part of our demonstration for martial arts. So, yes, we razzle-dazzle them with all the martial arts, but then we also do a little verbal judo bullying scene that the kids can navigate through and the parents just love it. So, anyway, that's the way you keep, there's no verbal judo too, but you just, the skills keep getting better as the kids go through it.
I have another question here. I think we've answered it, but it says, can I have examples of 8 specific word block tactics for 4 to 6, 7 to 12, and 13 to 17? I think we covered all of those. Is that right? Did we give examples for all of them, or do we have ones that we can?
The one I gave is usually like the 6 to 10 year old ones. So you're an idiot, you know. Hi, thanks. You know, my mom told me that this morning,
how about one for the teenagers? That 13 to 17 group is an interesting grouping. How about an example of, one that you've heard of that affects that group?
It's a different word block. We call it the polite threat, right? And the polite threat is, hey, I know you don't like me, all right? Or I know, you know, you keep calling me this name or whatever. The last thing I want to do is get you in trouble, so can you stop calling me that, you know? So you politely threatening them. But, you know, some of these other things that we have to work on, especially with the girls, because bullying far extends not just name calling, it could be exclusion, right? Especially with girls, right? They'll exclude one girl from being a part of the group, and that's a whole different animal that would be a long discussion. But, you know, what I would do is I would sit down with your 14 to 17 year olds, because the language is harsh, and their stuff is really, really specific, and then having them come up with word blocks that are specific to their situation. Just to give you an example, the kid I was talking about earlier, he was called the word faggot, you know, and they kept saying that to him over and over again, and we came up with some good word blocks that he had to believe in and that he was going to use, and then we just became a coach to help him through using that as a word block. So anyway, I hope that helps.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to I'm just going to take us off of lecture mode to see if anyone on the phone has a question they want to ask, and if not, we'll wrap up. Let's see what we got here. Okay, everyone should be available. If you'd like to ask a question directly, please do so.
And if you guys want to ask anything about iPhones, you know, I have vast knowledge of iPhones.
Well, you know, it's funny because the people I see on the line, if I see them on the web as well, which is great that they're using all the resources. Okay, well, look, you know, it was great. All the questions were either answered at the end or during the presentation, so it was pretty comprehensive. We really appreciate you giving out your email address and your phone number. To me, that means a lot. You know, I like that personal contact and being able to know that if I do decide to invest in a program, that I can actually go right to the source and they'll speak with me. It may not be a big deal to you, but I know that to people who end up with the program, it's a huge benefit. You're just doing something nice and it's part of what you do. So it is appreciated.
And also, Joe, I wanted to really thank you for having us here. And, you know, I know I've been with client with you for forever now, ever since the beginning. And, you know, just the maintaining a high level of customer service that you guys have is just really incredible. And I wanted to thank you for that as a client and also having us here for the Verbal Judo also.
You know, no thanks necessary. You've helped out in so many ways. And that's what it's really all about. You know, we have people that are contributing. We just now started a nice blog on the site. And it really gives all clients an opportunity to share ideas and post their thoughts and things that's helping them. So we really hope that can really grow. In fact, I invite, you know, people to get out there and post some notes and talk about the webinar. And if we can get more clients interact, there's so many great ideas out there. And if we could start really putting them together and sharing them, I think everyone will benefit and we can make a difference as a group. You know, 2,000 clients can make a difference. So let's keep sharing. I appreciate you guys allowing us to bring this product out there and giving us an opportunity to have our clients save some money, which is, you know, something that we really like to do. And And it's awesome. Thanks for your time. Thanks for everyone coming out and spending an hour with us. And if you have any other questions, definitely email these guys. They will respond. And 888-277-4409 is our number. And I think most everyone has my email address, but it's joe@membersolutions.com. And I'm happy to forward anything to anyone on your behalf as well.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you again for having us on.
You're welcome. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.